very special guest that's joining us now. He's been on the program several times, John Jakubowski, the Honorable Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry. Let's not forget that. On the program today, talk to us about a brand new initiative. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm great, Angela. How about you? And I just got on the line. I just hearing the story from the young man you're
Zach.
Speaking to, and that I don't know the whole background, but sounds like things are going a lot better than they were a few years back.
He's made a complete recovery, which is great, John. Zach first joined us. I think you were right in the middle of the whole process when you came on the program the first time, were you not?
Yeah, I was. That would have been right around the thick of it, yeah.
Yeah, you had a bandana covering your head.
Yeah.
Because obviously you had lost your hair.
There you go, yeah.
But, you know, right back then, I saw the spark in your eye, and I knew good things were in store for you, man. So,
well, thank you.
Anyway, John, welcome to the show, buddy. Good to get you back on.
Great to be back, Angel. Great to be back.
Now, we're
dealing with a lot of crazy things in the province these days with the flooding, and my riding, Renfrew-Nipissing, Pembroke, Renfrew County, has certainly been one of the hardest hit areas. So lots going on, but we're looking forward to the rain stopping and things getting back to normal. And
my hat goes off to the
first responders and volunteers that have done such a tremendous job.
For sure. Is there relief in sight, John?
Well, there's always, you know, the one thing about flooding, there's always relief in sight because, you know, the water can only go for so long. The Ottawa looks like it may have peaked, but there could be another peak coming when the freshet from the north comes. And on the Ottawa River system, the Bonnechere looks like maybe it has peaked and we might be looking at declining from there. And that's wonderful. And then the Madawaska is basically somewhere in between. When I talk about rivers that run through my riding, So I think for the from the Ottawa point of view, it could hit hard again. But I think for the others, maybe the worst is over. But nobody can let their guard down. These things take some time.
I spoke to folks on the French River last night. A good friend of mine owns a lodge there, Chaudière Lodge, and. He felt that, as far as the information that's going around in that area, they have not peaked yet. Mm-hmm. So he's thinking probably sometime towards the midpoint of this coming week they should have finished.
Yeah, well, they have, they're farther north. They got there's still snow in the the basin, the watershed area from those rivers still in the bush, you know.
Yep. But that's why we have the M&R, and you guys have been doing a great job since things have changed at the tail end of last year. So I'm sure that this is just going to be another one of those things that we'll look back on and say, whew, got through it, and let's move on. I want to talk to you about this program, though, the Moose program. But before we do that, John, I do have to take a quick break, if you could just be
Absolutely.
Patient with us. I'm going to take a quick break. We have the Honorable Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry on the line, John Jakubowski. We're going to talk about an interesting new approach to moose management when we come back. Don't you dare go away. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Biola. He is Stephen Labadie. We have Derek Brandeo, Andrew Holland in studio with me. We've got a young man that you've met now for the second time, Jake Miller. And on line with us, the Honorable Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry.
Sorry, I'm going to... Jake Miller?
Zach. I don't know where I was going with that. John Jakubowski on the line with us, MPP for Renfrew-Nipissing, Pembroke. Who cares, right, John? I mean, you and I, when we get to a certain age, we could do that kind of stuff, can't we? We recently heard about the appointment of the committee, the new committee that you have formed, and we heard about the appointment of John Capilanis from Northwestern Ontario Sportsmen's Alliance, who is a chair of the committee, and he's been on the program several times, wonderful man. And so you wanted to come on and talk to us about that, and I've got some questions to ask you about it, so I'll let you go first.
Sure. Well, you know, since we've long before we ever got into government, we've been hearing about, you know, serious concerns about the moose system, the tag allocation system, et cetera, how the quotas are developed, how people apply for tags and the allocation process. And, you know, moose hunting is a huge part of our you know, of our way of life here in Ontario generates millions of dollars economic activity each year, and you know, particularly in northern communities. So we said, look, we've got to do something to address this. So we organized what we call the Big Mac without the I, the Big Game Management Advisory Committee. And we asked John Kaplanis to chair that. And as you say, he's got vast experience in this regard. So what we're doing is now going out to communities across the province. Beginning May 21st will be our first public session in St. Thomas, Ontario. And we'll have, excuse me, we'll have six of those between the 21st and the 30th of May. And then we will be analyzing that input. But all during that period of time, and even after, people will be able to make their own comments, you know, electronically online on our website, to make sure that everyone in Ontario that or anywhere that wants to make comment on our plans or make suggestions to how we might improve the moose hunting system, they will be able to do so. But we'll have the six public sessions. And we're just, you know, committed that over the next couple of years, we're going to find a way to balance this system that, in the minds of so many people, has not been balanced.
Well, John, I got to ask you, this isn't the first time that, you know, government has looked at this situation with moose and said, hey, we got to do something. Let's get a committee out there and start asking questions and see if we can fix what's broken. What's different about this one? What are you doing with this one that we can, you know, as outdoors people, hope to get some answers from?
Well, you know, I can't speak to other attempts, but I really do really believe, Angelo, that the commitment that we have made and the commitment that we have publicly stated, that we believe in the importance and the contribution of moose hunting to Ontario's economy and to our way of life, that I do believe we have a different, we're coming at it from a different lens, and the people we've appointed to the committee, we believe has that diverse backgrounds. They all understand, they have great experience, whether they're in hunting, outfitter operators, some of them have had previous experience on wildlife committees, so they know what has and has not worked as well. So because it hasn't really gotten it done in the past, you know, doesn't mean that we're going to not make what we believe is a really genuine attempt to make this work. And we think with the help of the people across Ontario and engaging hunters and outfitters and everyone who has an interest and an experience in moose hunting to let us know how they feel, we feel we'll get it right.
Yeah, and the interesting part here, too, John, as you know, this is not something unique to us. You know, there are moose studies going on throughout northeastern part of North America. The U.S. is having its own problem with moose. So it's going to be interesting to see how long is this committee going to be out there doing this thing?
Well, the public engagement sessions will end at the end of May. Okay. But then, I mean, there's going to be, you know, a whack of input that you know, we will be analyzing and also continuing to receive, input from the public. This is for us, it's a two-year program that by the time we're ready to implement this, we've done all our due diligence and we've covered all the bases, because we want to make sure that we get this right, because there's too much at stake here. When I've traveled through the province and hear some of the stories about, you know, how complicated it's been and how, you know, how unfair it appears to people, there must be a better way. And well, we recognize, John, that when you're dealing with a natural resource like the moose population, it's highly sensitive. So yeah, we can't just, go from 180 degrees and do something that may jeopardize that population, but we have to make sure that we have a balance that the people of this province that own the natural resource, have a fair system to work within.
Yeah, the problem, as you know, John, in your ministry is one of the toughest ones to manage, because there's so many stakeholders, right? And everybody wants their little piece. Everybody has their story to tell, and it's so hard.
You wouldn't
hard.
Believe how many people I run into, and they say, "You're going to make sure I get a moose tag, eh?"
Of course. Why wouldn't they?
The one thing I guarantee, and I said this to my son, I said, the one thing I guarantee is that I won't be applying for a moose tag. I said, because if I happen to, in some lucky break, got one, nobody would believe that I got it through the draw.
Could you imagine? Oh, my God.
I just said, absolutely no chance that I'm going to apply for a tag.
What, so you're looking to hopefully streamline the process, the tag process, obviously, that your goal, I'm assuming, by
absolutely.
Having this committee.
Absolutely. And to make it more, what to make it, it's if for someone who doesn't get one, they may never believe a system is fair. But,
right.
but we're going to do one that if looking at an objective lens, people will be able to say it's fair. And that is, one of the prime goals that we have. And at the same time, while ensuring that we're protecting that resource so it is sustainable for generations to come.
John, I'm going to touch a sore spot, I know, and I hate doing this, but, I don't think we can end this segment without me bringing this up. When you say fair, are you talking about including all of the user groups in the decision process? And when I say all user groups, I'm also including, we have a wonderful program, by the way, in Algonquin Park with the Algonquins. But we need to include all of our native communities in this process, I believe, in order to be able to truly get a handle on this moose thing. What's your opinion on that?
All of our indigenous communities are part of this, and we have, there are constitutional rights that they hold, and we have to recognize that.
Yes.
And then one of the, the agreements that we have with the Algonquins is one that is absolutely working. And mm-hmm. we need to, there's no question, Angelo, I mean, there are some differing views on how some other indigenous groups view the process. And it would be absolutely, we're open. We want to include all people in ensuring that they are part of the process. Because when they're part of the process, they're also part of the protection of the resource. They're also part of the conservation side of it. Everything we talk about, there's no greater conservationist than the hunters and the fishers themselves. Because they realize if they want to continue this through their lifetimes and their children and grandchildren and so on and so forth, that conservation is absolutely key. So I think it's very important that all groups are engaged in this process.
That's wonderful. I love to hear that, man. Because that's going to be key moving forward on this whole moose issue. Anything else you're giving us? Because you're in a giving mood by the sounds of it.
Well, we just, the last couple of weeks, I have to say I've been focused on the mess with the flooding.
Yes.
But I did have last week I had an opportunity to meet with the Big Mac committee. They were having some organizational meetings and setting their sort of their agenda and how they would go about the sessions across the province. So I had a chance to sit down and meet with them.
Nice.
And just have a brief chat. I didn't stay for the session because we wanted to get them, get them doing what we are have tasked them with doing. But they are all, I'm telling you, Angelo, they're looking forward to this. They've been waiting for this, and they feel that they have a huge task before them. But they all are of the people that we're talking about, ones that believe in hunting as a cultural activity, as a sport, something that defines us as Ontarians, mm-hmm. but also as very, very strong conservationists who want to make sure that this is something that we will enjoy for long after John and Angelo have gone elsewhere, as they say.
Hey, don't get us checking out yet, okay?
No. But we're not going to be around forever, my friend, either.
Listen, John, always a pleasure having you on the program. We love hearing from you. It's just so refreshing to have the Minister of Natural Resources come on the show and talk to us openly about initiatives like this. And I just can't throw enough accolades your way for doing it. We appreciate it.
We appreciate the opportunity, Angelo. This is always great for us to be able to reach out to the public through your medium, which I'm always thankful to have that opportunity.
Take care of yourself. Have a great weekend, John.
You as well.
John Jakubowski, the Minister of Natural Resources and Forestry. He's the MPP for Renfrew and Nipissing Pembroke as well, as if he didn't have enough on his plate.